Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say reaction show. You are joining us, as always, in the Harbour View, where we are reacting to a lovely 3-1 win over Stoke. Now, obviously, once again, it has been quite a chaotic day to be a Sunderland fan, which obviously never happens, does it? but, yeah, I think we're going to leave the Pritchard statement and the behind-the-scenes stuff and obviously the minutes that have come out this week for the lads to talk about on Monday, because they'll be able to go a bit more in-depth with it. But I will start off by saying, like, I'm joined by Michael Off, as always, by the way. I thought that is just a bit of a given at this point. However, I am joined by Michael. Lovely to see you, Michael. Hello.
Yep, lovely to see you too, and the lovely 3-1 win to discuss.
Yeah, fantastic. But what I will start off by saying is, I don't know about you, but I felt blindsided, shocked, and a bit flat walking over to the ground today, because obviously the statement was released just before team news came out, and yeah, I think everyone's just a bit like, huh? Like, what's happened there?
Look, I think that was reflected in the atmosphere to an extent. I think we won 3-1, we were 3-0 up at one stage, and the atmosphere was never like brilliant throughout the game. I don't blame people, you know, because obviously there's been a lot of stuff that's gone on recently, frustration that we've signed no one in the market yet, the Pritchard statement, and obviously all the noise in the past few days regarding Michael Beale. I understand that. But today, what I would say, that's got to be a bare minimum going forward. I think we were thoroughly in control of the game for large parts of it. I still think, however, there were spells where we had 10 minutes or so, 15 minute spells, where we looked really good and we were fluid and the passing was good. But then it went really stodgy again. It was a bit bitty of a game. But I'm not going to sit here and slate a 3-1 win. You know, I'm absolutely not going to do that. And particularly when Stoke have been such a bogey side. So delighted with 3 points. We've now got to back it up this week and do some good business in the market. And we've now got to back it up and go to Barrow and get a result as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I couldn't agree more. It's lovely to go into a, I'm not going to call it a derby, but I'm going to call it a rivalry. It's lovely to go into that match on the back of a win with two absolutely beautiful goals and one which I thought at the time might be an own goal, but I think Sky did end up giving it to Bairstow. Lovely to see a striker score again. Like, maybe our luck's turning. Maybe strikers will start scoring for us, but I completely agree. I think that we had a very kind of in control game. I thought the defence were really strong once again. Sealed that their goal, which is his goal, I guess, but their goal, you've got to feel for him, because the rest of the match he looked like he was really coming into his own. He's starting to really become almost an undroppable player, would you say?
Yeah. I'm still a little bit undecided, because I thought he had a good game and I like it when he brings the ball out. He is good at that, but I still don't think he's a right back. I mean, I think defensively he's fine as a right back. You know, I think he's solid enough. He does well in the air. But was a couple of times in the first half, a ball got made its way out to him and he had to put a ball in, and one he massively overhit and another one he put in another poor ball. But I'm not digging out Zale out, because that's not his game. And I just think it's slightly unfair to ask him to do that. I understand we've got a lack of fullbacks, and I know for some reason it just doesn't seem to be allowed to play all nine at right back and put Zale in his natural position as centre half. But it's a very simple change, which I think would give us much better balance. But I agree with you, I think he had a good, solid performance. And I think for me, that kind of encapsulates a lot about the win today. Our best players gave good performances, and when that happens, you're going to win more games than you lose. I think, like Clark, I think he was outstanding again. He won the ball really high up the pitch a couple of times. The ball he played through for Barr for the second goal was really good. He made a good pullback before Burstall's goal. I know it was a bit scrappy in the end, and Barr does brilliantly again to win the header. I think Barr had an absolutely outstanding game. It's one of the best he's played in a while. So yeah, I think it was good performance all over the pitch. Stoke were interesting, I think, because this played so differently to what they did under Alex Neil. I think we'd have struggled a lot more against an Alex Neil's side because they'd have been much more disciplined behind the ball.
Well, as was shown last time we played
them at home.
Exactly. So.
Even down there this season, though, like, we didn't get the space in behind. And that's where, for me, we beat Stoke today was on the transitions when, I mean, that was really, really encapsulated by the second goal because we got the ball from defence into attack really quickly, and Clark had so much more space today to do what he does. And I think that's why Barr had a good game, because Barr, I think, when he has space to operate, then he can be a really good player.
It was lovely as well for Barr, I think, to see a lad who, let's face it, did go through a really rough spell. He had a run of games where he was shocking. Like, he did not show his absolute best, and it's really good to see him coming out the other side. We saw at Ipswich, we saw it today, and it really feels like he's starting to get back to what we expect. And obviously with Roberts out, we are going to have to rely on him for that outlet, and he was absolutely fantastic. I mean, another thing for me that, and disagree with me if you'd like, Michael, but I'm starting to say that a lot, actually. I'm starting to give you windows to disagree with me. I need to stop doing that.
I also need your consent.
Yes, you have my permission to disagree with me. Unless I say that, you don't have my permission. But I think that you can see a difference in the shape on the pitch when we are playing a striker. Now, I have been a critic of Burstow. I haven't been a massive fan of him. But today, him and then Roussien, you see the way that they take the centre-halves with them. You see the way that they create the space for our wingers. And I think that that is a really important change that we saw today. It's almost as if having a striker on the pitch makes a difference to the way you play and makes a positive difference to the way you play. And, yeah, I mean, Roussien, when he came on, he was jumping like twice the height of lads who were like three times the size of him. But every single time, he was taking them with him. He was creating space for other players on the pitch. And ultimately, that's why you have a striker there, so you don't have that massive gap. So the centre-halves don't really have time to think because they're having to go after that lad and to give other players space on the pitch. It's a nice thing to see, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the one thing Burstall does do quite well, I think, is occupy centre-halves. And I think earlier on the season, when he had a run of games under Mowbray, when he wasn't scoring, I think that was my comment, was he at least gives us a better shape when we're going forward. So there is that, but I mean, it's one of them things with the strikers. I think I'm really pleased Burstall scored because it just was never looking likely at one point. But I think with all the strikers, I think they've got like obvious strengths and they've got obvious weaknesses. And I just don't think we've quite found that like one striker to hang our hat on in terms of taking us forward in the second half of the season.
It's the argument, isn't it? There's 4 days left of the transfer window. Is it four? 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, yes. There are 4 days left of the transfer window. You want to see us bring in an experienced striker, really. We've got young lads, or relatively inexperienced when it comes to championship, like, football. Dark Fruits, please. just putting in my order. Relatively inexperienced when it comes to the football that we are playing. You want to see that experienced striker brought in.
Yeah, 100% we do. It's like Keith Amua, we won't sign him. I'm just putting it out there right now. We just won't sign him. But he's exactly...
I'm going to clip this when we do.
I'd be delighted to be proved wrong, because he's exactly the type of centre-forward we need. And I think it was Stephen might have said on the pod the other week, even having an experienced forward in the building who the younger strikers can learn off on a daily basis and improve the game. Because, like I've said a lot this season, I think the strikers are looking around for one of them to be the experienced guy, you have to show them the way, and I think that they're not really capable of doing that, and that's not a slight on them, they're just young lads. And it's a very specialised position being a striker, and they could be fantastic at youth level, but then when they get into this, like promoted to this level, it is a really like big ask for them.
When you've got big, brutal centre-halves you're playing up against, like, that is a massive difference between under-21s and what we see week to week. I mean, that is why we want that more experienced striker in, and that is why we want that more experienced person who can just come in and kind of run that front line. I think that one person who really did show experience, despite the fact he is still quite young, is Dan Neil today. I cannot fault. I mean, I think his first two touches, he did pass the ball to Gooch. I think he just needed to get in his head that he no longer plays with him. However, I can't fault what he did on the pitch today. He was shouting at the lads. He was telling them to get into position. He was running that game for me. He was just incredible. He was brilliant. Yeah. There's no kind of more in depth you can go, is there? Like,
again, just quietly very good. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but what I mean is his performances are consistently that excellent. But it gets to the... not quite that excited, like. no, it gets to the stage, Dan Neil. He's consistently that excellent that when he plays like today, you kind of shrug your shoulders and go, yeah, he was good. But I think if that's another young midfielder in the squad, you say, oh, he was fantastic today. It's just because sometimes with Dan Neil, there's people who want them to release the ball, but he's just got a knack of releasing it at the exact right moment.
Yeah.
And he's just so good. He's so in control.
And his touch as well, able to bring the ball down.
Absolutely fantastic. And
cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With he was playing a little bit more advanced than what he usually does, because I think today we very much had a more flat midfield three without having an obvious number 10 on the pitch. So I think that kind of allowed him to play that bit further forward and express himself a bit more, and he got us going from an attacking point of view, because Stoke left gaps and he exploited them gaps really well. Obviously the goal's a little bit annoying, because a clean sheet would have been fantastic, you know.
And it doesn't represent what we did today. Like, it doesn't represent how our defence played. It doesn't represent how Patson played. He did have... I mean, there was that one. Not his distribution throughout the game, but that one where he just, like, dropped it and pinged it up to Clark. Like, that was... Like, the people behind me were like, wait, I didn't know Jordan Pickford played for us anymore, because it was brilliant. And for that being one of the... And you know me, I'll never slate Patterson. But for that being one of the weaker parts of his game, it was good to see, really.
What I will say with Patterson, people need to remember where he's come from in the past couple of years. You know, when he first came up with a kid, he was a weak, skinny kid. He was rooted to his line. He had no confidence. And he's just come on leaps and bounds. Look, his distribution might come on in a few years, and it's a bit patchy, but at least he still backed himself to play that ball. And as much as we had a comfortable win today, if Stoke had scored first, it could have got very ugly today, and he made a crucial save at 0-0.
That scrappy one where they had like three in, like one after another.
Exactly, and then that one where he tipped it over the bar. Yes, it was straight at them, but it was quite a lot of pace. He did well to just flick it over the bar. And I can't stress enough how important it was for us to take the lead today, particularly going into half-time. I just kind of felt a big sigh of relief, like, oh, right, okay, we're actually in front now. And I think I'm going to contradict myself slightly, because I think the crowd obviously weren't...
Wouldn't be a wise man say pod if we didn't contradict ourselves.
It wasn't bouncing today, but what I will say, I think the crowd that did get behind the team, there was no, like... Yes, at times, like, there was, like, groans at misplaced passing that, but, like, there was no, like, bailing out stuff from the first whistle. I was expecting people to potentially sing Alex Pritchard's name. Yeah. That didn't happen. So I'm pleased that they stuck behind him, because I do agree it, and I was one of them against Hull. I was, like, shouting at bailing at a full time. But equally, it's not a pleasant environment for the young players, so I'm really pleased that they got that bit of encouragement behind. Like, Joe was jaying the crowd up after the first goal.
Burstow, celebrating in front of the crowd. It was lovely to see, but I do think that your point about that first goal that they had, that they could have had, that scrappy one in their net where Patterson made those incredible saves, you've got to argue that if that goes in...
Oh, we lose 3-0.
Yeah, it turns into a very different atmosphere, and it becomes slightly kind of toxic and not nice for Beale. I think that Beale sees a very different crowd today to the one that he saw. I think that I'm not going to stand here and say that we've won 3-1, so now I'm fully in support of Michael Beale, and I think everything he does is great, because I'm not. I still don't think he's the man for this club. I still don't think that he should be our manager. And I think he's got a bit lucky today with the way, not lucky, I don't think that's fair, but our players were all on their absolute best today. Yeah. Every single one of them did the absolute most they could do. And those lads are the ones that deserve our support. Those lads are the ones that deserve the credit because they're the ones that went out and absolutely nailed it. Like, we spoke about Abdullah Bar earlier in the pod, but, I mean, he's man of the match for me today. I can't credit him enough. Seeing every single one of them go out and give their absolute most, it... Potentially, it's saved Beal little bit for a week, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, your point about... Because there will be some... The very small minority, because I think the majority are very much against Beal. But there will be some people who are saying, oh, you're still seeing Beal out now, like... But bad managers win games of football. And even teams play well under bad managers.
A broken clock is right twice a day. I almost got that out, but yeah.
Yeah, it does happen. I mean, look, I remember in the Premier League under Davy Moyes, who went through a spell, we won 3 games in 4. You know, it does happen. And we played Hull at home, we won 3-0, and everyone thought, oh, here we go, like it's the start of something. And I'm not comparing Beal at this stage to as being as bad as David Moyes. But what I am saying is, it's very easy to sometimes get carried away with the other way and think, oh, we've won a game, everything's going to be great now. Like I said at the start of the pod, what we saw today, for me, from what I expect from a Sunderland side, that is a bare minimum.
Yeah.
That is an absolute bare minimum. Just a bit of intensity, bit of fight, the good players playing well, getting the good players on the ball. But that's got to be the standard now, and we've got to go to Middlesbrough, and we've got to back that up, we've got to get a result, and we need to keep in touch with these playoff players and get in there, because we can't now just regress to the mean, because then this toxic cycle is just going to continue and continue.
And that's the thing, when you look at kind of how we played against Borough earlier in the season, I know we had Dan Neil sent off, and I know that there were various other like mitigating factors, but it does almost feel like we need to go there and get a convincing win. We need to go and be able to do this. And obviously this isn't the preview pod. We're not going to go into how Borough playing at the moment. But it does mean something that we're going into that on the back of what has been quite a convincing win, where we've played really well. We're going to have a week's rest ahead of that. We had a week's rest ahead of this. The lads looked kind of more up for it. They looked more with a spring in their step. And yeah, It's not a good omen going in, but it's a bit of a positive going into that match.
Well, don't forget, he's got a week of fucking training, so you'll be delighted about that.
That was the worst Michael Beale impression I have ever.
I mean, to be fair, if you can find me a man who can replicate that accent, because it's so weird, I'll be absolutely delighted. But
yeah, you've got to be careful though, because we can't say we can't make fun of the fact he's a Southerner, because apparently that's why all Sunderland fans don't like him. Which I've got to say, if I make a list of 50 reasons why I don't like Michael Beale, the fact he's a Southerner probably isn't making it into the top 50, and that narrative just needs to go in the bin right now.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, I mean, I can't disagree. Like, the week is going to be really important for them.
And what I want to say as well, what I want to say at Borough. The result, yes, I want to win. But I want to see a good, convincing performance from start to finish. Yeah. Because I don't think we've quite seen that under Beale yet. Today, yep, comfortably won the game, deserved to win the game. But as I say, there were spells, 10 minutes here and there, where it was awful. Where we weren't getting the ball to each other, we weren't past it, we were getting camped in our own half a little bit. So what I want to see, and I think it's really important, just a good, solid performance from start to finish. And then if we do that and get a result, then I might think, right, we've got a foundation to build on now. And that's what the day has been, and we just need to keep that going.
Can I just ask before I make this point, Clark's our top scorer for this season at the moment, isn't he?
By quite a distance, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I just wanted to double check that. You've got to remember who got injured in the warm-ups at Borough away last season.
And
is that a bad omen? Is that going to happen again? Are we going to go there and be disappointed? Are we going to be stood in the crowd with whispers going around about Stewart? And is it going to be Clark this... Who knows? But I think it's safe to say that everyone feels a little bit more lifted. Everyone feels a bit more positive. I certainly feel better after doing this podcast with you, Michael. I feel a bit happier about the result. I feel a bit more lifted.
Well, I thought you were going to say that was because of my excellent podcasting, but...
Well, I think you've got to a point where you're processing things quite well, so I'm right. But I do have to say that, yeah, it feels a little bit better after a win. It's still not great, and I'm sure the lads will talk about that on Monday. But did you have one final point you wanted to make?
I just want to say, like, we want us to win every game, you know?
Yes.
Like, I mean, honestly, like, I am the most, like, childlike, pathetic person when it comes to Sunderland. When we win, it makes me weekend.
He runs on the pitch.
Yeah. I mean,
for legal purposes, Michael Loft does not run on the pitch whenever we win.
It was a one-off, but it was against Rochdale, so I need to reevaluate my life a little bit. I like to think I've grown a bit since then, so on that bombshell.
Yeah, the lads will be back on Monday, and I'm sure they'll go more in-depth into the off-the-pitch stuff, into the Alex Pritchard. We might have had a further statement by then, which is why we didn't really want to go into it today, because it's all rumours and hearsay at this point. We don't really know.
We'd have spent 90% of a reaction pod talking about an off-the-field thing.
Exactly, you know what I mean? Exactly. But make sure you tune in and join the lads on Monday, because they will definitely be able to kind of go into that a little bit more. Head over to our social media, follow us on X, follow us on Instagram. We keep those updated as much as we can. Go read some of the great stuff that we've got on our website. We've been putting out some brilliant stuff recently. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.